The New Jersey Nets are having some injury problems. Andrew Bynum is hurt again. And we are going to help you with some pickups for your fantasy basketball team. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Joining me, as always, is the best in the business, Sergio Gonzalez, the reigning fantasy basketball writer of the year. This is Fantasy Pick and Roll, your exclusive basketball podcast here at CBSSports.com. And Sergio, let's start with the New Jersey Nets because Devin Harris is still out, and now they have another injury to a guy who started off playing really well, had a great preseason, in Yi Jianlian. Man, I always butcher that name.
It's actually Yi.
Yi Jianlian.
Yi, like the guy from Entourage.
Yeah, there you go. All right. The forward from New Jersey.
There you go.
What's the deal with the Nets? And are guys like Rafer Alston, Josh Boone, Eduardo Nájera, are these guys viable fantasy options? We know about Chris Douglas Roberts. We know about Brook Lopez. We know about Courtney Lee and Terrence Williams. But what about some of these deep backup guys? Are they worth picking up and starting?
Yeah, the Nets are in terrible shape right now. I actually saw that game against the Nuggets the other night. It was ugly. It was ugly early. It was ugly for the entire game. The Nets aren't just dealing with injuries to E and Devin Harris. Chris Douglas Roberts actually came down with the flu. He might not play on Friday night in Philadelphia. And they just don't have enough healthy bodies to play right now. As far as picking up some of these retreads like Eduardo Nájera or Josh Boone, I wouldn't recommend it. Even when given playing time in the past, they haven't been able to put up numbers. I think it's going to fall on the likes of Rafer Alston. It's going to be Courtney Lee, and it's going to be the center. Why am I forgetting his
Brook
name?
Lopez.
Brook Lopez, and I'm a Nets fan. it's going to be on those three players to pick up the slack while these players are banged up. Devin Harris, initially, he was far less optimistic about this injury than the team was, and now he's the one that's saying he's going to be out for at least another 2 weeks. So fantasy owners, I wouldn't expect to see him for at least the next couple of scoring periods.
You mentioned that game against Denver. I want to ask you about Kenyon Martin. Is he a must-start option now with the way that he started off the season?
Yeah, and I think the deal with Kenyon Martin is, considering his history of injuries in the past, you've got to start him while you can and get the most out of his fantasy value while you can. That also means that he could be a sell-high candidate because,
okay,
like we've seen in the past, since he moved from the Nets to the Nuggets, he hasn't been able to stay healthy for the course of an entire season. So if you can get something good for him, I would have no problem with fantasy owners trying to put him on the block and see what they can get.
Andrew Bynum hurts his elbow late in the game against Houston on Wednesday night. Is this a situation where, I know it's not a knee injury, I know it's not similar to what happened to him, it's obviously not against Memphis, which is this jinx of a team against him, but is this something that is going to keep him out for an extended period of time, or is it just a day-to-day thing?
Yeah, they actually said that after the game, the LA Times reported that he couldn't use that shoulder to put, I think he was wearing a sweater or something like that, he couldn't use that shoulder to put the sweater on, so it looked pretty bad. This was obviously immediately after the game. You're going to have to check fantasynews.cbsports.com for
Look
updates
at you promoting the site
throughout the weekend. But right now, I actually think he's going to be a real question mark for Fantasy Week 3.
Okay.
The situation with Pau Gasol doesn't help. So if it is at all a minor situation where he can play through it, I think he'll have to because they're a little thin up front all of a sudden. As stacked as they were, they're thin again at front. They were even talking about Lamar Odom possibly playing at center.
Wow.
if Andrew Bynum can't play. That'd actually be a dream for fantasy owners. If Lamar Odom could pick up center eligibility with five starts somehow, that'd be great. That's far-fetched at this point, but something to keep an eye on.
Does it increase the value for Josh Powell?
Yeah. In daily leagues more so than in weekly leagues.
Okay.
Again, monitor that over the course of the weekend. And if Andrew Bynum, if this does linger into next week, he's worth taking a last-ditch flyer on. There's other options that I recommend a little bit more than Powell. Maybe we'll get into those later. Like somebody like an Eric Dampier in Dallas that's playing very well.
Well, let's look at this Houston roster for a second, because what about Chuck Hayes? Is a guy I know that you liked a lot.
He just picked up center eligibility.
Yeah.
In those leagues, again, we have to address this, in leagues where multiple position eligibility is allowed, Chuck Hayes got his five starts at center, and he's going to be eligible at center for week 3 and beyond.
But even in just leagues where he's forward eligible, is he a good big man replacement?
Yeah, as a forward, I view him as more of a number four option in standard leagues. Standard leagues being leagues worth 12 teams. Yeah, I view him as a decent.
I mean, look at the production against the Lakers: 14, 14, and 2.
Yeah, yeah.
What about Carl Landry?
Carl Landry's another player that I like. Chuck Hayes a little bit more at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Carl Landry's another player that he's worth picking up and stashing away, even if you don't activate him right away.
Can Grant Hill keep this up?
I don't think so. I just don't see at this age, in that fast paced system. I just think he's going to get bumped and nicked, and he's going to go down at some point. Unfortunately, you don't like to say that about a player, but I don't think he'll keep this production up. I don't think he'll be able to run with that team for an entire season. No.
I made the mistake of starting Channing Frye this week, and so far through two games, he's been pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it is due to foul trouble, but he's also struggled with his shot. Is he more of a guy that you want to play in home games only, or is it just an East Coast trip? Maybe in the West Coast games, he should be better.
No, he's definitely a matchup-based center. I don't think it's so as far as looking at splits from home and away yet. I think it's based off times when he plays like the Warriors, the Kings, teams like that. You're going to want to start him. When he's facing the likes of the San Antonio Spurs and the Boston Celtics, you're going to want to sit him, obviously. So it's just a week-by-week basis. Take a look at his opponents and see if you want to play him or not.
Is the J.J. Redick phenomenon done?
No, not completely. Because even in with Vince Carter coming back, he had the one game where he didn't score double digits for the first time this season, but he still had 5 rebounds. He still hit a couple threes. He's still a good category-based option in that he spreads his production out pretty well and gives you help in categories that are hard to get help in sometimes.
Should fantasy owners run out and get Ryan Anderson?
No. No, I'm not.
Even after the game against Phoenix?
No, I think that's a one-time deal.
One-time deal.
Yeah.
And also Rashard Lewis is going to come back too.
Right.
Another guy that maybe fantasy owners should run out and get is Quentin Richardson. 19 points, 9 rebounds. He's had a double-double in his previous game against the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Is he someone, now that he's starting for Miami, trimmed down, lost a lot of weight? It was interesting to hear Mike D'Antoni after the first game when Miami faced New York. Amazing what a contract year can do for a guy in terms of his attitude and ability to lose some weight and get in better shape. Is Richardson someone that can keep this up?
Well, it's really kind of amazing that the Miami Heat have only lost one game, and after that one loss, they shake up their lineup and put Quentin Richardson into the starting lineup.
Well, no, he's been starting all season.
What was I thinking? I was off with that one. He's a player that if he gives you consistent, if he continues to get consistent playing time like he got this past week, I'm all for picking him up.
Udonis Haslam, somebody who's probably owned but not started. Where do you, and this goes back to the first question or one of the first questions I asked you, when you're looking at veteran guys who you pretty much know what they are, Udonis Haslam, Kenyon Martin, and I'll take a guy like Quentin Richardson out of the equation simply because for him, like you said, I think it's minutes, but established guys, their roles change a little bit, Haslam coming off the bench, you know, Martin sort of is part of a three-man, big-man rotation, that aren't going to put up huge numbers on a nightly basis, but consistent numbers over the course of a season. Do you start them when they're hot? Do you start them when you need someone? I mean, how do you sort of go about setting your lineup with guys like Haslam, like Martin? I'm sure as we go through this, you know, Tayshaun Prince maybe comes to mind. Guys that aren't huge stat producers but are pretty consistent when you look at their numbers at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think you have to look at it as a case-by-case basis. Obviously, depends on the options that you have to go with. These are fringe players that you have to start based on matchups. Udonis Haslam right now, I think, you could actually consider as a little bit more than a fringe player. I know he's coming off the bench, but he's actually produced. He's playing starters minutes. He's actually getting more run than Michael Beasley at times for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's played better.
Well, yeah, he has played better. And he's another one of those players that in leagues that allow for multiple positions, he's eligible at center, and he's been giving you double-double type numbers. So he's actually a little bit ahead of those other players that you mentioned, a little bit above of the fringe players. But as far as fringe players are concerned, those are players you have to play based on matchups, and that means you have to pay more attention than you would when you're dealing with the likes of LeBron James or anybody like that, obviously.
Mike Miller got hurt in the game against Miami on Wednesday, so keep an eye on his injury. I think it was an ankle, right?
Right.
So keep an eye on that. Brendan Hayward comes out with a double-double. I think he's a similar type player. You know, whenever the matchup's right or if you need a center, especially if you're looking for somebody to replace an Andrew Bynum, he's not a bad option. Rip Hamilton still dealing with his injury. Keep an eye on that, so hopefully he comes back soon. which is allowing Sergio and I, one of our big disagreements, to play well in terms of Rodney Stuckey. I think Stuckey's not going to play well throughout the course of the year.
He's doing good so far.
Yeah, because Rip's not in there.
Yeah.
And Will Bynum's somebody in deeper leagues I think you can sort of pick up and use at times.
Right.
Certainly somebody stashed on your bench.
Yeah, I think he's the one that'd be more adversely affected once Rip gets back. He's going to go back to playing a minimal role. He has the ability to do this, obviously, with what we've seen in the preseason and early on the season. He's just not going to have the role to put up numbers on a consistent basis, anyway.
There were a few rookies that you and I both liked prior to the season. Tyreek Evans was one. I think he had his best game last night against Atlanta, Wednesday night against Atlanta. Johnny Flynn is another one. And DeMar DeRozan from Toronto.
DeRozan's been bad.
He's been horrible so far. If you're looking at with rookies, with these guys, when they're not playing well, how long do you give them before you give up on them?
Rookies you have to put on a short leash, I think, in fantasy. They tend to be inconsistent. There is one rookie out there that right now I think gets a little bit of a longer leash because of the way he's played in the early going. That's Brandon Jennings.
Well, no. I'm not talking about rookies that are playing well.
Right.
Brandon Jennings is a different level.
That's a good example. What happens if Brandon Jennings hits a little bit of a wall?
Oh, I see what you're saying. If he struggles. I got you. Okay, so if Jennings struggles, you give him
a little bit longer leash because he's. I mean, basically, they have to earn your trust as the season goes on.
Because the question I'm asking is, if you have a bench of only four guys,
mm-hmm.
right? So you pretty much want to carry guys that can help you unless you're stacked and you just can't wait on an injury. Because if you have a bench of four with no IR spots, which a lot of our free leagues, I believe, have,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about if you're missing a Bynum, if you're missing a Hamilton, if you're missing a Devin Harris, if you're missing now maybe a Mike Miller, you know, and then you get down to some of those fringe players, where do you make the choice between a rookie like Tyreek Evans or a marginal starter like a Mike Miller?
Yeah, in terms of these rookies, what you're looking at a lot of times is upside. You can't rely on them in terms of being a week-to-week starter because they tend to be inconsistent, as we've seen with rookies in the past. There are some that go above and beyond. Brandon Jennings is that player early on. Stephen Curry's been kind of above average as far as being consistent, even though he's playing for a very inconsistent coach in Don Nelson.
You hate that man.
I think fantasy owners hate him.
I think they love him. I think you're crazy.
I love the man. I have no problem with Don Nelson. As far as him being a coach of anybody on my fantasy roster, I get a little annoyed from time to time.
But, I got you.
With these rookies, you're looking at upside. You're looking at, are they hot at the moment? And if they are, you go ahead and start them. If they're not, then you have a shorter leash with them than you do players that have any kind of a track record.
You mentioned Curry. The Golden State gets its first win Wednesday night. Monta Ellis is playing at an unbelievable pace right now, looking like a fantastic option. And they beat Memphis. And here we go, Sergio, with the Memphis Grizzlies. And look who has the better game at point guard. What do you know? It's Allen Iverson. 18 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists. Mike Conley, what do you know? 8.6 rebounds, 6 assists.
That's not a bad stat line.
It's not a bad stat line, but it's not Iverson's stat line.
Look who he affected a little bit. Also, if you look over at shooting guard.
He affected O.J. Mayo, too.
Yeah.
He's going to affect both guys. There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
But in speaking of Iverson specifically, forget about Mike Conley because I think he's a marginal starter. Iverson, is it safe to put him in your lineup?
Not yet.
Still not yet?
This was the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
And he is still trying to get his playing legs back under. I know he did. He had how many minutes did he play last night?
I'm just looking at the game tracker.
In the first game, he played limited minutes off the bench. He didn't look like himself. The Warriors have a tendency of making players look a lot better than they are. Objects in mirror, whatever that saying is, are not as close as they appear.
What would you say the minutes difference was between Conley and Iverson?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Probably 50-50.
It was 28 minutes for Iverson, 30 minutes for Conley.
There you go. I still contend that he's going to affect O.J. Mayo more so than he's going to affect Conley because Conley, they're going to use to run the offense and distribute the ball to all those scorers that they have on that roster, where Iverson is not ideal for that kind of roster because he's a ball hawk.
He had one more assist than Mike Conley, your ball hawk.
Oh, okay. We'll keep tabs on this.
I love arguing with Sergio because typically whenever he like feels like he's made a point, he just stops talking. He just shuts down and like I can't get like a word in edgewise. That's how he ends all arguments. It's just okay. Then he's just done. Looks the other way. Won't give me eye contact.
We'll keep tabs on this.
Listen, you have more of a chance to be right than I do because of the way this team is set up. And Conley's certainly the future there. It's not like they're going to all of a sudden give Allen Iverson a 10-year contract. You mentioned Eric Dampier. Tell me why you think he's going to continue to play like this, double-double on Wednesday night against New Orleans.
Well, you're putting words in my mouth now. I don't think he's going to continue to play. He had 16 points and
14 rebounds.
I don't think he's going to do that every night. But what he has been doing consistently, he has at least 9 rebounds in every game so far this season. He's been putting up double-digit rebounds in the last few games. Mm-hmm. He's got over 2 blocks per game. Those things I think he can do on a consistent basis. The scoring is going to be erratic, but still, when you're looking at the things he offers in terms of the typical big man stats, what they call them, what you get out of your power forwards and centers, he's doing that on a consistent basis, and that is enough in most formats to make him a quality replacement, at least, as a number 2 center if you're looking for a fill-in.
I know it was one game, but backup guard Bobby Brown for the Hornets has 18 points in an overtime game against Dallas. Is he someone to keep an eye on?
No, I was actually watching that game a little bit, and he just had the hot hand, and they were riding him. I don't see that being a consistent thing at all.
Okay. We mentioned Tyreke Evans. Spencer Hawes is someone that you and I are both following quite intently because we think he's going to play well. He had a couple games where he played well. Mm-hmm. He was back in the starter role against Atlanta on Wednesday night and had a bad game, 6.7 rebounds. Is it good that he's starting? Will this continue, do you think? And if he's starting, is it safe to say he's a safe start again?
Well, the funny thing is he had actually played better in his previous 2 games off the bench. He was actually starting to come around. They put him back into the starting lineup, and then he has this little bit of a clunker. He's still far too talented to stay down for long. It's a situation where the two sides being the coach and the player are trying to fill each other out, and they don't exactly know what to expect from each other. I think the fact that he's back in the starting lineup, we're going to start seeing some more stability out of him. Don't get too scared away by that one bad line. I think we're getting close to time where Spencer Hawes can be considered a viable, at least a number 2 center.
All right, Sergio, I want you to sit up straight for a second.
All right.
I want you to put your chest out, and I want you to say, I said to everybody to draft Roy Hibbert.
I said to draft Roy Hibbert.
You know what Roy Hibbert did against the Knicks?
Of course I did, but go ahead.
Do you know what Roy Hibbert continues to do?
Yes, I do.
He's playing at a great level, Serge.
Yes.
If Roy Hibbert's available in your leagues, must start?
No, he shouldn't be available anymore.
Well, he got off to a slow start.
Yeah, but
and he wasn't a lock to be drafted in every league.
No. Well, if you were reading our columns, of course, he was a he was a breakout type player because of the situation that he was going to be getting significant minutes. He had a decent finish to the end to last season. Had a strong preseason. I don't consider him a must start yet. He's more of a fringe, based on matchups type starter. Mm-hmm. In week 3, actually, the Pacers only have 2 games, so you're gonna, depending on the type of league you're in. If you're in an average based league, you might start him. If you're in a cumulative format, you're gonna sit him in week 3. But he's definitely a must own, and if he's available in your league, he shouldn't be.
Is Dante Jones somebody worth picking up?
I keep thinking, Dante Jones is supposed to be a defensive specialist.
Well, now he started this game.
Right.
He started because Troy Murphy didn't play against the Knicks on Wednesday.
Right.
No, so what they did was I think they went small.
Right. But what it was supposed to be, Brandon Rush was going to provide the scoring off the bench. Initially, Dante Jones was going to start. Brandon Rush was going to come off the bench to provide the scoring at the 2 spot. But for whatever reason, Dante Jones is playing defense and he's scoring. So as long as that continues, Brandon Rush is going to continue to see limited playing time, and Dante Jones is the guy. I think that's a situation where you just have to ride the hot hand.
Well, against the Knicks, actually, Rush played well. He had 12 points and 10 rebounds, so mm-hmm. It's not like he had a poor game.
No, he's not a complete dud or anything like that.
Sure.
He still has upside, and he's still worth keeping around in rosters, especially based off his second-half numbers last year, filling in for Mike Dunleavy. But right now, Dante Jones is the better start.
Nate Robinson is somebody that's also dealing with an injury for the Knicks, so keep an eye on that. A couple more teams I want to get to here. The Minnesota Timberwolves have a center who is playing very well his last 2 games in Petrov. Is he somebody to pick up and to continue consider starting based on the way that he's starting to play.
He's worth starting in the short term. Fantasy owners should understand that Kevin Love will be back probably within the next month, and that's going to stop this run for Petrov. He's one of those players that you pick up and get what you can out of him while you can.
For a month at least, like you say.
Yeah.
If he continues to get the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Seven-footers don't come around very often. The Celtics, they're winning, and the only guy who's been The only guy who's been consistent. Well, they won by 2 points against Minnesota, which is
early on. They've had a lot of blocks.
I agree. The only guy you're getting really consistent production from at a high level is Rondo.
Paul Pierce has been.
He's been good for the most part.
And Rondo hasn't scored. His scoring hasn't come around yet.
Well, he had 18 points against Minnesota.
Right, but in the first, and I think that
he's had a couple games where he's been okay.
Right. The assists have been there all season.
And the rebounds.
And the rebounds and the peripheral stats. The scoring hadn't come around until this game. I think he's a player that obviously you're going to start regardless of what he's been able to do in the early going. But Paul Pierce hasn't been bad. Paul Pierce has been pretty steady. What you're seeing in some of their blowouts is that he's been taken out in the third and fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. That's happened with Kevin Garnett. It's also happened with Ray Allen. So it's going to lead to some inconsistent results, but they're not going to blow out everybody by 20 points like we saw last night, and you're going to start getting more stability out of those players.
Do you consider benching guys like Ray Allen or even Kevin Garnett at all?
No, Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, they've all taken a hit as far as their fantasy value, but it's not like they're not useful fantasy options. They're still putting up numbers that are more than worth using in just about every league. So, no, I wouldn't reserve them.
Is there somebody that, or I know you just did your planner, is there a team that people should look for heading into week three that has great matchups? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but is there a team that you focus on that you say these guys have great matchups, start all these players?
You know what? I really like the Golden State Warriors matchups next week.
But can't you say that every week, though?
No. Usually you say whoever's playing the Warriors.
Yeah, but
has
still,
great
they put up points.
They do put up points. That's why it's a little bit tricky. As far as their matchups are, I know that I consider their matchups the best in this upcoming week. I like the Philadelphia 76ers matchups.
Wait, go back to Golden State for a second.
Sure.
You're starting Monta Ellis in every league.
Sure.
You're probably starting Steven Jackson in every league.
Yes.
You're probably starting, because he's a center, Andres Beatriz in every league.
Yes.
For the most part. He's a number two center, but he's borderline.
Mm-hmm.
Who else are must-starts for them? Must-starts. Like, you have to, no matter what.
No,
what,
I think that's it. As far as must-starts.
Just those three?
Yeah, as far as must-starts.
The next tier goes who?
It goes Stephen Curry.
More so than McGeady?
Yes.
More so than Morrow or Randall? I know Randall's.
No, well, let's put it this way. I think in the same tier, you're talking about Stephen Curry and Corey McGeady. Anthony Randolph had a good game the other night. Then you get players that tend to have inconsistent big games for the Warriors.
You mean Morrow? You mean
Morrow?
Azubuike.
Even Anthony Randolph is a player that,
sure,
I think falls into that.
Azubuike, you see a turn off every
right
now and then.
I do like Azubuike in the upcoming week, based on the matchups. It's teams that are going to let the Warriors run are going to. I mean, they're going to run on anybody, but teams that let anybody run are going to lead to these games where we've seen the Warriors score 140 points in regulation. So we could see some of those types of performances in the upcoming week.
You mentioned Philadelphia.
Yeah, I do like Philadelphia's matchups. I can't remember who else. You know what? People are going to have to read the planner.
There you go. I was going to say, you got to tease them. Read the planner a little bit. All right, so check out Sergio's planner, as well as his start-sit column, which will be up by some point through this weekend.
Yes.
Fantasynews.cbsports.com. When we come back on our next podcast, we will read some emails and continue to send your emails to dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. That's dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. For Sergio Gonzalez and some of our producers here, got to mention them, can't leave them out. Adam Mazur, Aaron Brown, we appreciate all the work that they do in making our podcast happen. So again, for Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.